from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Max said it in the chatty house, Friday vibes.
Friday vibes, Kyle.
There's donuts in the kitchen.
That's right.
There's people in the office. It's always funny, you can tell which people have like a I get Starbucks on Friday deal with themselves.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
A lot of people pull up with a coffee. I shouldn't say Starbucks.
A little more energy. A little more energy today.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a good way. When I worked in the city, there was a Starbucks right across the street, like the next block up from the studio I worked at 95.7. And I finally got to the point, I'm like, I'm making this a Friday deal. That's how Donut Friday started as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're making this a Friday deal because if not, I'll go every day. If I try and have discernment of like, okay, I'm going to go get a coffee today. I'll talk myself into it every single day. Every day. I'll be like, let's see. It's a Monday. Well, Monday, I got to start the week with it. I mean, yeah.
See, I have a deal here where the coffee is decent. And the coffee maker's nice here.
Yeah.
Where we're at. And mm-hmm. It's like, I might as well not spend the $4 or $5. So I come in here and have a cup of coffee, and then most days I have 2 cups of coffee, which is new. I don't usually do that.
Yeah. Aren't you usually a 2-cup guy?
I am now. I was not before.
Oh, I see. It's just so convenient.
It is convenient.
The reason I typically do it, if I'm getting a coffee on the way in now,
mm-hmm.
I usually make it at home, but if I do one on the way in, it's just because I like iced coffee. I prefer an iced coffee.
Yeah. Well, today is also, it's a day that we're celebrating here in the office, St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to wear green.
Yep. I planned that last night because if I don't plan that ahead of time, I'm forgetting. 100 times out of 100.
Yes.
Because I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I don't care that much. I want to make sure that the hat generally goes with what I'm wearing. And that's just kind of the short and long of how I pick an outfit in the morning.
Okay.
So last night I was like, okay, I'm setting this out. I'm setting out this jacket. This is what I'm wearing tomorrow.
Well, I knew I was going to wear my Lane Meyer shirt.
Of course. And you wear that once a week anyways.
It's hiding. it's hiding underneath other shirts quite often. So, yeah. But I love my Lane Meyer shirt.
I don't get the reference, but I'm sure people who do really, really enjoy it. I had a small tragedy happen today.
Uh-oh.
And I'm a little embarrassed to admit this.
Uh-oh.
We're going to talk about the Kings and the Knicks and Aaron Donald retiring, and some interesting notes from Tom Haberstroh about scoring in the NBA. We have a ton of stuff coming up. But I had a small tragedy this morning.
Uh-oh.
And it's a little bit embarrassing. Long story short, I still use CDs.
Oh.
Like in the car, if I want to listen to a specific artist or a specific song.
That does two things.
Throw a CD in.
It dates you and it also dates your vehicle.
Yes. Because I have a 2012 Honda Civic.
I do not believe that my car has a CD.
Yeah, no, most new cars don't.
Yeah.
So it definitely dates my car and it dates me because I have had this CD case thing.
You have like a big...
Oh, yeah.
Four
oh,
floppy
yeah.
pages.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not the floppy pages. It's like... It's more. It's like a squat binder.
Oh.
It's very small and it zips up
yes.
all the way, right?
Yes.
And I have had this thing since before I had an iPod, maybe shortly after I got an iPod. Because at some point CDs were still prevalent post iPod because you didn't necessarily have the technology to get the iPod plugged into the car, whatever. So I've had this CD case for a long. It's like cracking. It's old. The zipper broke on it today.
Oh, no.
And I don't know what to do because I don't know that I can go get a CD holder anymore.
I think what you have
what
to
do... What do I even do? Because I can't go look a person in the face and be like, hey, Best Buy, do you have CD holders?
This is a slippery slope here, Kyle.
Sure.
I think your only option is to just buy a new car. Just
no,
straight up.
No.
Like,
well, okay,
you run out of options.
So I know there's people probably like, hey, don't you have an auxiliary cord in your car? Or don't you have the USB plug that plugs in? Yeah, I do. Here's the problem. My car is so old. How old is it? Yeah, match game. It's fine. My car is so old that... So I have the new iPhone 15, not to brag. And the USB-C cable... I bought a USB to USB-C cable.
Okay.
Okay. So I can plug into that plug in my car, and then it's the USB-C plug that goes into the port on my phone.
Yep.
My car is so old that it does not recognize the technology.
Oh, no.
It doesn't recognize that there's a... It charges it, the charging work, but it doesn't recognize how to play music.
Oh.
Out of... that device.
This is tragic, man.
So I'm still CD guy. When I'm driving down the highway and I'm done with an album, I gotta keep my eye on the reach down, grab a CD, put the thing in my lap. There's some people who don't know what I'm talking about, and there's a lot of people who are probably 30 and over who really relate to this. And you've got the CD case in your lap and you're driving and you're trying to make sure and you're looking down and you're going, okay, let's see, I want this one. And you got to eject the one and you got to pull the CD out and you got to put it back in. I feel like I'm talking from 1996 right now.
Hey, dude. Man, I'm so old that I had one of the original CD Discman.
Oh, yeah, loved a Discman.
With the little cable that plugged in that had a cassette that you could slide into your tape deck.
Yes.
And then play your CDs. But the original technology of a CD... was you had to like have the thing sitting on your leg while you're in the car because you hit like like a pebble and it skips and then it's just sitting there like trying to reload all the whole time. It was very frustrating. Very frustrating.
Super annoying. Somebody in the chat said Kyle's so old that he forgot online shopping exists. I know I can go online shopping, but that's not as funny.
No,
that ruins the bit.
It does ruin the bit.
So I will likely have to go to Amazon.
That's amazing.
And type in CD binder holder and hope I can find one that will fit my myriad of CDs. CDs, a lot of mixed CDs, a lot of burned CDs
in
my day.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, that was just a tough thing this morning. I was like, where do we even get this?
I don't even know. I don't know where to send you. You should probably just go to a garage sale.
Like, do I go to a thrift store, like an antique store?
Yes, go to a thrift store. You'll get one at a thrift store.
I'm looking for a CD holder.
Go around your neighborhood this weekend and hit all the yard sales with
like
the weather turning.
You can go look for vinyl, and people are like, oh, wow, you're a vinyl guy. Okay, yeah, I got some vinyl for you.
Yeah.
If I'm like, hey, you have CD holders? They're like, ew, you what?
Kyle.
It's embarrassing.
Yes.
Like you said, hopefully someday soon I'll have a new vehicle and I can plug my phone in or have Bluetooth even. Have a Bluetooth in my vehicle.
Or just could have like it all built in.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm not getting the car you have.
Even it has Spotify or whatever, you can go.
I have principles. No, I just don't know. All right, Aaron Donald of the St. Louis / Los Angeles Rams announced his retirement this morning on social media. He's hanging him up after 10 years. 10 years, 10 Pro Bowls, 8 first-team All-Pros, 3 Defensive Player of the Years, 7 top 5 Defensive Player of the Year finishes, a Defensive Rookie of the Year, a Super Bowl ring.
Mm.
What a freaking career, man. What a freaking player.
That's a pretty amazing, like when you spell it out like that. That's really amazing. I'm surprised that it's only 10 years. It feels like it's been longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then because it's 10 years, it kind of reminds me of the Patrick Willis thing where, you know, like one of them was more dominant than the other, but not by like leaps and bounds. I mean, Patrick Willis is like his generation's linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
But to
Aaron Donald might be the best defensive player of all time.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. Like, the numbers aren't, like, because it's only a 10-year career, the numbers aren't going to be there. I mean, he's got 111 sacks. And I know it's more than sacks and everything else, but that does actually matter where you are, where you rank all time. So.
Hang on. Career sack leaders. There we go. Where did he land all time?
He's probably not in the top
40th. He tied with Chandler Jones has more sacks than Aaron Donald. That's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Justin Houston. They both played a long time though. No, I just think when you look at how dominant he was from day one, he had 9 sacks as a rookie.
Hmm.
And just from day one, and then never let up. This past year, 10 sacks. And was dominant in the postseason. Sealed up their Super Bowl win, and when Aaron Donald just kind of decided, like, yeah, this you're not going anywhere on this play. It was just over. There was nothing you could do about it. And with all due respect to Lawrence Taylor, or Reggie White, or whoever, or Bruce Smith, whatever defensive players you want to throw out there, Ed Reed, I think Aaron Donald is very, very much in the conversation as the best defensive player of all time. And I think
the
accolades are just insane.
Yeah, he's really good. I'm not saying that. I'm surprised too. I mean, we're talking, you know, he almost retired like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But two years ago, that had him at 8 years. That's such a short career. Well,
he had his paperwork filed.
That's crazy.
He was done.
Yeah.
He won his ring and he went, I'm getting out of here before my brain turns into soup.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rams said, how about if we give you $90 million fully guaranteed? And he went, all right.
I'll come
back for that.
I think I'm in. I think I'm in.
I too will continue working for $30 million a year.
I also would consider it, Kyle.
Taking that.
Yes.
Taking the financials into account.
Yes.
Man, what a career for Aaron Donald. And I'm not sure there's bigger news for the 49ers than that this offseason.
That's huge. I mean, that's big. The Niners are like, we don't need offensive linemen. Aaron Donald's retired.
Aaron Donald's gone. It turned into this because Aaron Donald, the Rams went 5-13 against the 49ers while Aaron Donald was there.
Wow.
And it turned into kind of this joke because Donald had a couple of games in particular against San Francisco where he was not productive. Kyle Shanahan did a really, really good job of neutralizing him with misdirection and with quick throwing and with motion and all that. But don't get it twisted. The 49ers defensive staff offensive staff is rejoicing today. They don't have to game plan for number 99 anymore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they fully are rejoicing. This is like the best thing ever for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's always going to be someone else, though, Kyle.
All right. There is. All right. Let's talk Kings. They take on the New York Knickerbockers on Saturday at Golden One Center. Let's take a dive into that game. This is a fascinating matchup for a whole bunch of reasons. We will get to all that. We will do some scoreboard watching as well with you. And we will jump into Tom Haberstroh's numbers about scoring since the trade, not the trade deadline, but the All-Star break. Some really, really interesting stuff there as well. All of that coming up on the Insiders. We're hanging out with you till noon on ESPN 1320. Kings against the Knicks at Golden 1 Center. He is James Hamm. I am Kyle Madsen. Let's talk a little hoops. I'm scared for this matchup for the Kings. I don't love the matchup.
I don't hate it, Kyle.
Okay, why?
Well, first of all, if you want to be a physical team, this is a team, right?
That's why I don't like the matchup.
Yeah, they are one of the most physical teams. It's just how their coach is built. It's how he builds his rosters. They come at you. They don't mind roughing you up, like punching you in the face a little bit. But at the same time, I don't know. They're injured. They've got, you know, OG Anunoby's back, but Julius Randle's still out. You know, they have a bunch of issues. Like when it comes to like who they are and how they're designed. And I think they're probably a year away from being like a really, really, oh my gosh team.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean they can't walk in and just punch you in the face. And yeah. That's kind of what they do. They're strong. They're physical. Yeah. It's a good team. It's not a great team.
They remind me of the Pittsburgh Steelers in this way. Every Steelers team feels the same to me since 1970.
Oh, yeah.
The Steelers just have an identity that is their offense going to be great? Probably not, but it's going to be good enough, and they're going to have a hard-nosed defense, and it's just going to be rough and tumble, muddy type of game, and they're going to drag you down into the dirt, and they're going to scrap. Bare-knuckle boxing every time you play the Steelers.
Yeah, scrappy, not very good quarterback, but just like plays hard.
And they're going to figure out ways to win.
A running back that just plows through everybody, just runs over everybody.
Yeah. And I'm sure if you're a Steelers fan listening, it's like, that's not how they were in 1990, whatever. Sure. Okay, I get that it's not always like that. That's just the vibe I get.
Yeah.
Whenever the Steelers come, that's the type of team they are, in my head. And that's how I feel about the Knicks. The Knicks are always going to be this gritty, they're going to fight you, they're going to turn every game into a boxing match. And that's how I feel specifically this Knicks team is. It's not always going to be super pretty, but it's going to be grimy. They're going to give you a really tough game. They're going to beat you up on defense.
I would say the one difference that I'm going to point to, so we've talked about this so many times this season.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings struggle with long athletic teams, but long athletic and physical teams.
Sure.
The Knicks are not long and athletic. They're just really physical.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big problem for them. Because I think that's where the Kings can match physicality. They can't match physicality when it comes with, you know, a 7'3" wingspan and like just like gigantic players that are also physical.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll be able to come into this game and give it a good go. You know, like you have matchups in this game. Like I don't know what the Knicks do with a guy like Domantas Sabonis. Like, what do you do? I mean, there's no way for them to stop Domantas Sabonis.
Sure.
And so that's going to be a problem.
You're not a big Isaiah Hartenstein guy?
Yeah, when Hartenstein is literally your starting center and he's averaging 6.9 and 8.3 and like, okay,
mm-hmm.
He's going to get bullied.
Sure.
He is. I mean, mm-hmm. Straight up. So, and what do they have after that? And that's...
I fear, though, that that's not enough. We have seen so many times this year, it's like, well, they don't have an answer for Domas. Oh, Kings lose. So I don't buy that as a oh, well, this is a good matchup for the Kings because they don't have somebody who can match up with Domas. That's true for most teams, and the Kings lose quite a bit in those matchups.
Yeah, but I would say in this matchup in particular, this is a matchup where they don't have anyone at all that can stop him. So if he puts up 30, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, how many teams do? Just...
Well, I mean,
off the top of the dome.
Let's just say, like, you look at the Los Angeles Lakers, right?
Uh-huh.
And the matchup there with Anthony Davis is not a good matchup for the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that he can't match Domas's numbers.
Okay.
He just can't stop Domas, right? Mm-hmm. So that's not what I'm talking about. In this game, I get what you're saying. Like, there are a lot of teams out there that can slow Domas or a lot of teams that have no answer for him.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that they don't have players that can at least do some of the same things on the other end, right?
Sure.
So if Domas is going to go for 20, you might be able to get AD going for 22.
Sure.
Or you might be able to get Alperen Şengün going for 20.
Mm.
Just keep going down the list of guys.
Yeah.
In this game, like, Hartenstein averages like less than 7 points per game.
Yeah. Not an offensive threat.
Yeah, and not only is he not an offensive threat, but he's not going to be able to stop Domas from going off. So
Sure. There's
a possibility that you could win that position by 20 points
mm-hmm.
on the floor,
mm-hmm.
like easily.
Sure.
So that's where I kind of look at that as one of those rare situations where you can look at a game and say, okay, there's no way for them to even keep up.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely get that, specifically at that spot, but... I just, when you go down the Knicks list of starters, like Jalen Brunson's an excellent player.
He's phenomenal.
He got a huge contract from his time with the Mavs. He got a huge contract with the Knicks, and he's just gotten better, flat out.
He may have overplayed a contract more than any player that we've seen,
and he got cashed out.
He did. where you thought, oh, that's a bad deal. What are you doing?
I was right there, dude.
He walks in the door and all of a sudden he becomes a star. Yeah.
Like Brunson was with the Mavs when they played Golden State in the conference finals in 2022. And it's like, yeah, that's a nice player. Mm-hmm. He's a very, very good player. But I mean, what did he get from Dallas? 4 and 118?
Like the contract that was offered?
I'm sorry, from New York.
Something like that. Yeah.
He got paid
for 104.
Yeah. Man, that felt like a lot. And now, as you said, he is dramatically overperforming that contract.
Yeah. I mean, he's getting paid 26.3 this year, 24.9 next year.
He should be double that.
He has a $24.9 million player option for 25-26, which he's not going to pick up.
Not if he keeps playing like this.
He's going to make 35 a year plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. Like, he has definitely outplayed a gigantic deal. And I remember in his rookie season, Davion Mitchell was asked, who's the toughest player
mm-hmm.
for you to guard in the NBA? He says, there's no question. It's Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, man.
He's like, he gets into you.
Yeah.
He is so physical, so low to the ground, and he hits you and knocks you back, and then boom, he's off the ground and you know, floater or whatever.
I think he's listed at 6'1".
Mm.
I give him 5'11".
Yeah.
But he creates so much space. Just with footwork and the way he operates, that physicality you just talked about, he's a really, really good player. Dante DiVincenzo having a career year. He's averaging 14 a game, shooting 39.9% from three on the highest volume of his career. A career high 3-point percentage on a career high volume.
Yeah. He's and
really figured it out from beyond the arc.
He's got a bone to pick with the Kings too.
Yeah.
So that's...
And I think he has a couple of 30-point games this year. He's been really, really good for the Knicks. Josh Hart, dog. Josh Hart is a really, really tough matchup.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk more about him later.
Yeah.
OG Anunoby, I'm interested to see. He said, so he got banged up in their win over the Blazers on Thursday.
Yeah, his elbow.
Right. So he was dealing with an elbow thing, came back, got it twisted up, or he was reaching for a ball and just had the elbow jostled a little bit. And he was pretty clearly in some discomfort, left the game briefly, iced it, came back, but after the game said that it's just normal kind of wear and tear usage. He expects to play Saturday. So I'm guessing we'll see OG.
Maybe.
That's what it sounds like. But that's another player. That's just a really, really tough matchup. It's so good defensively. He provides enough offensively that you have to guard him. I don't know, man. They're a really, really tough team, and maybe matchup for matchup, you really like it for the Kings. Just, oh, I like this player more than this player. I like that player more than that player. But the Knicks are going to play a style that renders that irrelevant at times.
No, I totally agree. It's going to be a very difficult, matchup.
What's your matchup of the game that you're watching real quick?
I think it's Fox and Brunson.
It's got to be.
Yeah, I mean, they're both averaging right at 27 points per game. I also... You know, like, it depends on who's going to play for the Kings, but I like the Kings' arsenal of players that they can throw up Brunson.
Sure.
because they're not going to try something silly. They're gonna go to Davion Mitchell. They're going to go to Keon Ellis. Mm-hmm. And I think those are good matchups for the Kings against a really tough score.
Yeah, let's dive into that some, and then we'll also have some keys to a Kings victory as we talk about, you know, how do they match up? We'll talk about how they can win those matchups and pull out a win over the Knicks at Golden 1 Center. We'll also dive into that Jaylen Brown and De'Aaron Fox discussion as well, right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, you're dang right. Yeah, we didn't do the Alperen Şengün update on this show. It could have been worse. A grade 3 ankle sprain and a bone bruise on his knee.
Shocking.
Which is incredible.
Shocking that he is not... It wasn't substantial.
Also,
I mean, that's substantial, but... Like,
yeah, he's done for the year. His season's over.
Yeah.
But that looked in the moment like, man, that's at least one, maybe multiple knee ligaments. That could be an ankle, too. It was ugly.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a season-ending injury still, for sure. But the kind that will have him ready to go by the start of next season and not one that's going to force him to miss maybe an entire year.
Well, yeah, I think he'll even be able to play an international play this summer.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is something that keeps you out. I mean, a bone bruise in your knee can be like 4 to 6, but the grade 3 ankle is anywhere from 8 to 12.
Do you know what a bone bruise like is? This is how it was explained to me by a doctor when I was a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
I got one on my shin. There's like a membrane on the outside of your bone,
mm-hmm,
where your bone bends and that membrane breaks, but not the actual bone.
Oh.
It's like, that sounds awful.
Yeah, that does sound awful.
It's like, just tell me my bonus verse. I don't need to know the nitty gritty of it, man.
Yeah, and this we're talking about Alperen Şengün with his injury, not the injury to like Sasha Vezinkov.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to.
Yeah. No. Sasha also, he had a grade 3 ankle sprain, which is again the same thing. A grade 3 is basically the ligament. It snaps.
Yeah.
And so it has to like reconnect itself and then regrow back together and heal itself. And so even like right now, Sasha is just waiting. It's just a waiting game now for that thing to reattach all the way and to heal. There wasn't like surgery needed or anything else. It just, you got to wait it out. And then eventually the ligament repairs itself. But it takes a long time. And like the longer you give it, the better it is, because what you want is for it to not only reattach, but to tighten back up. Because if not, you can get a really loose ankle and then all of a sudden you have more ankle injuries because of that in the future.
Yeah, nothing worse than having a chronic ankle problem.
Yeah, I mean, De'Aaron Fox struggled. He came back way too quick and he struggled for a year with it after the fact and still wears gigantic ankle braces. He wears like basically what looks like the old Aircast things.
Well, isn't that part of why he went with the Curry brand shoe?
Yes.
Because Steph wears the same braces and the shoe is meant to go with those braces?
No, totally. That's one of the reasons why he was all in. He tried out a bunch of shoes last year because he was a shoe free agent.
Right.
He tried out like, I think, 3 different brands and one of them hurt his feet. I don't know which one, but one of them hurt his feet and I think he may have missed a game. Like shoes are crazy. I know like incredible. DeMarcus used to wear a new pair of shoes every game, which is crazy. Where Kostas Kufis wore he had bought like a huge lot of the same shoe, which were like the most remedial shoe you've ever seen.
Incredible.
And he would wear them until they fell apart. And then he would have a new one that he'd pull out of a box and wear it.
He bought the Kostas Kufis of shoes.
Yes, he did.
Bought a bunch of them.
Exactly. The Kostas Kufis of shoes.
I've always, because I'm not a sneakerhead by any means. And if you are, then do that. Wish I would. I envy people who look cool in a bunch of different kinds of shoes. But I've always said, if I find a shoe that I'm like, this is the one, I'm going to order them just in a bunch of colors. And that's just what I'm going to have. Like, that'll be my move.
Yeah.
I think if I was an NBA player, though, I think I would become a sneaker guy. If I had access to the things they have access to.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd go full PJ Tucker where I'm wearing like rare sneakers to play basketball in. But I would definitely, if I had a contract with whatever company, I would be like, send me whatever you want and I will wear it.
Well, you have to know that they get like whatever shoes they want, they get sent for gameplay, right? But then on top of that, if you're a Nike guy, like a lot of players, just a default setting in the NBA is just to be a Nike guy.
Yeah.
And some of the guys get shoe deals with, whether it's, you know, Puma or
Anta
Under Armour, whatever.
What's
it is.
What's the Austin Reeves one? I'm going to look it up. You keep talking.
I don't know. But the thing is that not only do you get shoes sent to you all the time for you to wear for games, but on top of that, part of your payment for wearing their shoes is you get like a gigantic account at the Nike store. So when everyone goes to play the Portland Trailblazers, they take a bus out to the Nike store, the Nike factory, whatever. And these guys get to spend, you know, like $8,000 or $10,000 worth of just like credit that they have with shoe companies. So,
hey, I have an admission.
Uh-oh.
I don't hate the Austin Reeves sneaker.
Really?
Yeah, it's a company called Rigorer. And I don't love the crosshair logo. That's not my favorite thing. But the shoes are kind of nice.
Do they come with like a handbook on how to foul grift?
I hope so.
Like, is it on just the inside of the box? You flip the box up and it's like, this is how you foul grift.
You wear the Austin Reeves sneakers to the store and anytime you walk past someone in the aisle, you lean into them and then fall down.
the key, contorted face. Contorted face gets foul call every time.
The head goes back. Now they got a couple nice looking colorways in here.
I don't believe you. I'm not joking. That's funny.
I might get a pair. They're $100. Oh, here's this is nice. Here's a pair for $69.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna have to think on that. That might be a good bit. That might be worth $100. To be like, yeah, buy the Austin Reeves shoe. What's up? The rural juror. That's the insiders. That's James. I'm Kyle. Jalen Brunson against De'Aaron Fox is going to be fascinating because it is so rare that we go into a game where you can credibly say, yeah, that point guard might outplay De'Aaron.
Yeah, he's right there on the same, they're like the same wavelength.
Yeah.
Like these are two players that...
Very different players.
Yes.
But production-wise, very, very similar.
Very similar. I mean, they're going to battle for a potential all-NBA spot.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure whether they get it or not, either one, but that's who you're fighting with. It's one of those spots. I mean, he's averaging 27.2 points per game. Fox is a 27. Like, these guys are like right on the same tier. Now, I still think that De'Aaron Fox is considered a slightly better player,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know, man. This guy's been able to lead a Knicks team that's battled injuries all year long and has him in the hunt, and it's really impressive what he's been able to do, especially at like maybe 6 foot tall.
Yes, it's 27. I'm just going to round up and down here. Jalen Brunson, 27 points, 4 boards, 6.5 assists. De'Aaron Fox, 27 points, 4 boards, 6 assists on 47, 36, 72. Jalen Brunson, 47, 40, 84. That 3-point shooting for Brunson has been the game changer for me with him as a player.
Mm-hmm.
He shot 41.6% last year on 4.7 attempts a game because with the Mavericks, he didn't shoot him a ton. With the Mavericks, he averaged less than 3 3-point attempts a game. He shot an okay percentage, but the volume wasn't enough to make it scary. He's at 6.6 attempts this year and shooting 40% and shot 41.6 on 4.7 attempts last year. Like he is a legitimate threat from outside, and when you are as physical as he is and you're able to break down a defense and get into the paint, and his work in the paint with his footwork and his ability to create space, there's not a lot of guys that are able to do it the way he does. And I have a tough time with him as a player because he does all of those things I just mentioned and does them at such a high level. And he's averaging 27 freaking points a game and doing so efficiently. And I still wonder if he can be a 1A on a title team because he is 6 foot and he doesn't play above the rim.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when I watch him play, he's just a gamer.
Just a baller, dude.
Yeah, just like your standard hooper. Like, he knows how to get his shot off. It doesn't matter who he's going up against. Like, it really is he's a little bit in the mold of an Isaiah Thomas, where just like he can get to his spots.
Yep.
He has his moves. He might not even be the quickest guy. He's just strong. He's got a low center of gravity. He bullies his way through smaller guards.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think he's one of the most difficult guys to defend in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of those players that he's tough to block his shot just because he uses angles. He uses the width of his shoulders to create space when he's going out for a layup. He's just crafty.
Yeah.
And, you know, like watching him against the Kings over the last couple of years when he was with Dallas, he just destroyed them every single time. So I'm intrigued. This is like the matchup. Although, you know, again, I don't know how much De'Aaron Fox will be on him. I think that they're probably going to use DiVincenzo against De'Aaron Fox a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to see Keon Ellis or a Davion Mitchell defending him nonstop. And I think that's an interesting matchup because, I think Ellis has such crazy length and quickness
mm-hmm.
that he could be a guy who might be able to neutralize someone like that.
Yeah, given how he's played the last couple of games, you could certainly see it. Yeah, that's what The other thing that jumps out to me about Jalen Brunson specifically is it felt the other night, not that Dame Lillard quit necessarily, because I don't think he's built that way, but it became really clear that he didn't have much room early. He tried to make a push where he went, okay, I'm going to try and take this game over, and couldn't, and then took a backseat offensively.
Yeah,
and he put up 12 shots, and because that was what he wasn't going to get his own shots off, so he started trying to get. Jalen Brunson has none of that. Jalen Brunson is just going to keep coming, and that's one of the hallmarks of him and this Knicks team. It feels like the entire Knicks team takes on that persona, where it's just like, I'm going to be a dog for 48 minutes. I don't care if we're up by 20 or down by 20. I don't care if I have 6 points or 50 points. I'm going to attack this possession the exact same way every single time.
Yeah, they clearly have outplayed their level of talent. I mean, like, you look at their talent level, you're like, okay, this team shouldn't. I mean, they can be good, but like, factor in the injuries that they've had.
That's
like how long Randall's been out and how long OG Anunoby's been out after they traded for him. Like, when you factor that stuff in, it kind of leads you to believe that, you know, that they should be a team that's probably maybe 4 or 5 wins lower than they are.
Yeah.
But no, they're quality. Like, they just keep coming at you. And I think that's, you know, again, it is Jalen Brunson sets the table for that team as much as any player in the league does. So you take him out of this game and, you know, you're not going to have a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. The other thing, this is a team that really, really, they're good defensively, but it's still a lot of one-on-one stuff, right? Yeah. So it's a team that I think the Kings typically play okay against. So I'm intrigued. Again, like we keep talking about the Keon Ellis thing, and it wasn't just Damian Lillard that Keon Ellis shut down. He came out and did the same thing to D'Angelo Russell the next game.
Mm-hmm. And Russell had been playing very, very well.
Yeah, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're kind of hoping to see how it translates to different types of players. You know, like,
yeah.
can you keep doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, so. Yeah, no doubt. I think of because I think you're right. I don't think the Kings probably throw De'Aaron on Jalen Brunson a lot, but you'd feel okay about it. De'Aaron's a good enough defender. I'd feel okay about it. But Jen, you can throw Keon Ellis at him. You can throw Keegan Murray at him.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
For a spell. Like, I think that they have enough length and at least capable defenders, if not very good defenders, that you can maybe bother Brunson a little bit and make Dante DiVincenzo beat you, or make OG Anunoby beat you, which, like, you'll take. Like, if that's how it's going to be,
yeah,
and OG Anunoby's going to give you 30, then, like, all right, good on him.
Well, that's not really his game. Right?
I know, it's, and that's not why I'm saying, if you force him into that and he has a great offensive game, then so be it. You'll live with that.
Kyle, we have breaking news.
Oh, a little breaking news. What do we got?
Eric Armstead has signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, yeah, that is that official now?
It is.
Yeah, that came down, the report came down yesterday, that he agreed to a 3-year, $51 million deal with the Jags. And honestly, good for Eric Armstead, dude.
Yeah.
He was asked to take a pay cut by the 49ers.
$17 million a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It making annually, I don't know the structure of the deal exactly, but the annual value, the average annual value, the AAV, is exactly the same as his deal with the 49ers. And he goes and gets that. He turns 31 this year, coming off knee surgery. He's missed, I think, 10 games the last 2 years. 12 games the last 2 years. He's missed time in each of the last 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still a really good player.
Yeah.
And he goes in and he gets what it may not be his last NFL contract, but it'll be the last one where he gets a significant bag. So I'm very, very thrilled for him. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And that's why he wanted to test the market.
Yeah, I don't blame him for testing the market, and, you know, that's why you do it, and clearly he had a lot more value than what the Niners were willing to spend on him.
Naturally, Trent Baalke, the guy who drafted Eric Armstead in 2015 when he was with the Niners,
mm-hmm.
signs Eric Armstead after he's coming off knee surgery.
Mm.
Like, of course.
Oh, yeah, he did
peak,
like his
peak
guys with
Trent Baalke, dude.
He did like his knee injuries.
Unreal. Good for Eric Armstead, rooting like heck for him, and he goes to a Jags team that is hopefully on the way up.
Mm-hmm.
So, shout out to Eric Armstead, Sacramento legend. We love him. And like I said, I imagine he'll be back in Sacramento, and I imagine he will still be doing plenty of charity work in the community as well.
Yeah, they
as he always has.
The Niners have also signed special teamer Chase Lucas during the show today. Lions special teamer.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I'm not going to pretend like I know who Chase Lucas is.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying it. Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to do a quick Google.
Yeah, 2022 seventh rounder from Detroit. Defensive back and special teamer, Chase Lucas.
Oh, Arizona State's Chase Lucas. Why didn't you say so? All right, so. Little cornerback depth, little special teams depth. He has played in two seasons. He has played six defensive snaps.
Mm. So he's not really a defensive back, is what you're saying.
Not really a defensive back, no. 305 defensive snaps over the last 2 years.
Hmm. So.
Okay.
All right.
Good for him. Does he return at all? Does he do anything?
I don't know, man.
Not a return man, just a special teams guy. Okay.
That's big because you did lose Ray McLeod yesterday, right?
Yeah, but they still need a return man. Chase Lucas is not that. It turns out. So I wouldn't bet money because I don't know enough about Chase Lucas, the player, but I would be willing to go out on a limb and guess he does not make the team.
Hmm.
Just okay. based on what I'm looking at here.
All right.
Anything else? Oh, Devondre Campbell. The 49ers signed former All-Pro linebacker Devondre Campbell, or are expected to sign him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was this morning.
Yeah. That came out. Matt Maioka reported last night that the 49ers had strong interest in Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ian Rappaport this morning reported that San Francisco had signed him. Campbell, in kind of a weird career. He had 4 years with the Falcons who drafted him, I believe in 2015. He had 4 years there. He was fine, just decent player. Goes to Arizona, has an okay year, and then goes to the Packers and is just an all-pro. 143 tackles, couple of sacks, couple of interceptions, a dynamite season with the Packers, and then the last 2 years has struggled a little bit, but playing a spot next to Fred Warner where he should be fine, should be more than capable.
Yeah, I think you're getting like until your stars are back. I mean, you're getting a player who started 110 games in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That's big.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you just need quality there and somebody who knows what they're doing, and you're hoping that that's what you're getting.
Yep. Oh, and John Feliciano as well, 49ers veteran offensive lineman, re-signing on a one-year deal. He tweeted today, best day ever, staying in San Francisco and Aaron Donald retiring. Feliciano was supposed to be like a just reserve, versatile backup last year and wound up being the starting right guard. So he has a very real shot to do that again this year.
Yeah, I mean, you need depth, right, mm-hmm. on the line, and he's a player who actually played well enough to earn a spot and to get more minutes and all that stuff.
Yeah, and if he's playing, if he's
more snaps.
If he's a veteran, like, backup for you, then you feel really good probably about your starting offensive line.
Yeah.
And then you feel even better about your depth. Real quick, to get back to the Jalen Brunson, De'Aaron Fox thing before we have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me wonders if Jalen Brunson was 6'2", would I be... everything's exactly the same, but he's 6'2". I feel like I would feel differently. Like, I think this is just my bias. I'm looking at a player who's 6 foot and doesn't have, like, crazy explosiveness to play above the rim, and I'm going, meh.
I think it's something that, like, it's realistic. Like, there are those concerns with players like this.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that like they can't be like excellent players. I think your concern is what's the ceiling of the team with a player like that.
Yeah, I don't know that he can be a 1A on a title team.
Yeah.
Like, I think De'Aaron can. We just compared their numbers. They're so similar. And honestly, Brunson number for number is probably having a better year.
Yeah.
But if I'm picking one to build around, I think I'm taking De'Aaron.
Oh no, I think I would too, just like the electric speed and everything else. I don't know, but you also have to look at Brunson as like how consistent he is. The fact that he shows up every night and has that same mentality and I mean, like, look, there's a ton to like about Jalen Brunson.
He's so freaking good, dude.
Yeah.
That's why this is so hard, because like I said, he is number for number having a better year than De'Aaron Fox is right now.
Yeah.
And there's not a ton of point guards in the league where you can say that. But I mean, what's the list? Shea, Gilgeous Alexander.
Okay.
And this is just, again, number for number, just box score watching here. Luka Doncic.
Yep. I mean, you've got to put Booker in the category because all of a sudden Booker's averaging like 8 point something assists per game.
Okay, Book, we'll put him there.
Okay.
That it? Steph?
Steph, probably there. Steph is there, but I don't know, like, whether he's having a better season or not is, like, questionable.
Do you know Steph is older than Larry Bird was when Larry Bird was on the Dream Team?
Wow.
Steph Curry turned 36 freaking years old yesterday.
Well, that's wild.
I felt when I was growing up learning about the Dream Team, Larry Bird was, because I was Summer Olympics of 92, so I was one. I was almost two. So I don't have any recollection of the Dream Team.
Okay.
But growing up learning about them, you know, it's Michael Jordan, it's Charles Barkley, it's David Ross, these guys are awesome. And then, Larry Bird was on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind growing up, it was like, man, Larry Bird was just ancient. And now we have 39-year-old LeBron James playing as well as he is. You get 36-year-old Steph Curry.
Well, yeah, but you got to remember that, like, what we know about the body, what we know about sleep and nutrition and weightlifting.
Right, that's all part of it.
Yeah.
Just the difference. It's just, it's so funny thinking back on that now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Larry Bird, I'm almost that age. Oh. I am 2 years away from being that age.
And it felt like Larry Bird was so old. I've got Larry Bird's back. I've had Larry Bird's back for a long time.
He's a big Larry Bird defender?
No. His physically.
Oh, his back. God.
Like, yeah, me and Larry, we got back injuries. We got back problems.
My boy, I got his back.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, man. I'm really, really excited to watch Jalen Brunson against De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
That list of players who are having better years than De'Aaron Fox is just so short, and Jalen Brunson is on it.
It's right there.
I mean, man. But I like I said, I think if I'm picking one to build around, I'm taking Fox.
Yeah, I think so too.
There's proof positive that a explosive 6'3" guard can lead a team in a way that a below the rim 6-foot guard, even as good as Jalen Brunson is and as effective as he is, I do have concerns about their ceiling as long as he's their best player.
I just say, like, 51 of his 61 games this season, he's put up 20 or more. Like, his consistency is really, really consistent.
He's a freaking dog. Yeah.
And he's got a 50-point game and a 45-point. He's got two 45-point games and a 50.
And it sneaks up on you, too, because he just gets inside. He does that little pivot, little floater. And then, okay, yeah, he's got 8 in the first quarter. Yeah, okay, he's fine. And then all of a sudden, the game's going along, and you're like, oh, it's a 3-point game. And now Jalen Brunson has 27? Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. The Knicks are very, very tough in large part because of Jalen Brunson. So that's going to be a ton of fun. That's it for our first hour. Let's do some scoreboard watching to kick off the second hour. The Kings got a little bit of help last night. We'll tell you from who on ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.